This is January the 25th, 2002, and I'm here for the second interview with Mrs. Catherine Giles for the Versailles Vision Main Street Kentucky Oral History Project. The interviewer is Janet Norse Gates. Okay, I think we'll do some follow-up from the last interview, and then we'll go into some new questions.
Okay.
One thing I didn't get from you was I got your birth year, but I didn't get your birth date.
September the 16th.
And your maiden name. I think I got that, but I want to make sure.
Catherine Weaver.
Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have a middle name?
Nope.
No middle name. And I was just wondering, this is not really, is your family, the Giles family, related to the author?
No.
Because there's a Kentucky author.
Yes, Janice Holt.
Janice Holt Giles, yeah.
Well, she was married to a Giles, too.
Right.
But as far as I haven't traced any genealogy that way.
Okay. What about the name of your pool room? Did it have a name? You said
it was just Carolyn Giles or Carolyn Giles.
And was it that before he got it too?
No, I don't guess they even had a name. It's
okay.
just the people that run it, and that they just, well, it was Carolyn Tillman or something. And
did they have a sign out there?
No.
No, never a sign.
Well, I don't know. Now the people back.
Well, I mean, when your husband.
No,
had
when
it.
But I have a picture of the pool room when there was an explosion right across the alley from it, and this picture shows Slaughter and something pool room.
Oh, it does.
On the side, painted on the side, and it still shows.
What was the explosion?
There was a gas explosion right next door to it. Somebody threw a cigarette, and there was an open vent.
Oh.
And that, or was throwing a match down or something, and it
hurt the building?
Apparently didn't. The building didn't look like it, except in the picture it has a big a roof or something up over, out over the sidewalk. So if you walk, you know, when you walked by there, that you didn't get any rain then. But this Mr. Moore and there was somebody else that was killed when that explosion.
Oh.
And it destroyed that building that was over top of it.
What time period would that have been?
That had probably in 1924 or something like that.
Oh, so that was before.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's from
So I got this picture out of the paper, I think. And I took it to the boy who owns the building now. And he said, I'm going to frame that because...
The one that had been destroyed?
No, the one that was the pool room.
Okay.
He sells the carpets in there now.
That's right, you told
after,
me that.
And
so somebody named Slaughter must have owned it
uh-huh.
at that time.
When we bought the building, Slaughter owned it, D.W. Slaughter. Had to have been the son of the man who run the pool room.
Okay.
Because... And then he, D.W. Slaughter, went on up and ran the, had the corner drugstore.
So he moved from a pool hall to a drugstore.
Well, he never ran the pool room. He might have been a child.
Oh, okay.
But after he came back out of the service, well, he had his pharmacist license and whatever, and he opened up the drugstore.
Now, were there places like that women could go? You said that only men went to the pool hall. Were there, any kind of... establishment that women would go and just gather and talk and maybe have coffee or tea?
No, not that I know of, unless, well, they had the corner drug.
Okay.
Corner drug, because it had a delicatessen bar or something, because anyway, they served coffee and they served ice cream and Dunkin' Drug. They also had a confectionery with your little marble top tables and
mm-hmm.
the wire chairs and sold ice cream and that kind of thing in there, and they did it at the corner drug right in front of the building.
So I mean,
so that would have been
two. How long they did that? Was that just during the 40s or even through the 60s?
Well, the corner drug is still doing it.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think now they even have some tables in there. Before they just had a bar
uh-huh.
up across with stools there, and went up to the bar and got your ice cream or a sandwich or whatever you wanted.
So all along they did that.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
And then Dunkin' Drug, I guess after Madison Duncan died, well, they must have sold that, because then somebody else, they went in there, but they didn't go in as a drugstore. And I don't know whether that was where they had the jewelry store or what. I mean, because there was a jewelry store up and down on that street too.
Okay.
But
How long did your husband run the pool room?
Well, he was only in it 7 years.
Oh, then when y'all bought your store, mm-hmm. he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long did it remain a pool room? Do you know?
Oh, I'd say another 25 years or so.
Okay.
Or longer. I don't know how long Garnet's been dead. Well, even after he sold the pool room, the Carroll sold the business, but he didn't sell the building. And then Buddy Cox had it, and I don't know how long, I don't remember how long Buddy Cox mm-hmm. had it.
So maybe on into the 60s, 70s?
Yes, every bit of it.
Every So through the 60s and possibly yes. in the 70s
mm-hmm.
too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then were after that closed, was there another one that had that continued
well,
to
the,
open?
Well, where Margaret Wilson's son has one, and husband had one across the street.
Okay.
And they still got it.
And it's still open today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But now women go in there.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
But you never did.
No. They have they play pool and they also have a lunch room, lunch counter.
Okay.
That's what I get. Confectionery counter or lunch counter at the corner drug instead of just the bar.
Okay.
But yeah. But that's what it was because you had to get up on the stools and
so in the pool hall that the Wilsons owned, or do they still own that?
Yes.
Did they own it all along, or they're just now on it now?
They didn't own it, I don't think, when Stanley and them did. I think they bought it.
But they also served food, and
uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But they also had alcohol, so you had to be a certain age to
yes,
go in
uh-huh.
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now Ms. Margaret Wilson, you were talking to her last night, her son runs the pool room there now.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives in an apartment up over it.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Because she had a sports shop.
She said she had a dress shop
there,
uh-huh.
and she had beautiful clothes.
And she had that on the same building that
mm-hmm. that's the sun,
where the pool hall
mm-hmm.
is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to meet with her.
Different two doors.
Yeah, well, so it was the same building.
Yes, the same building.
So all along, though, she had dress shop, and her husband ran the pool hall, and now her son's running it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think her father, her husband was
what
in
what street
there.
Is that? That's Lexington.
It's on Lexington
Street.
Uh-huh.
And then Main Street in Lexington.
Main Street goes north and south.
Me. I saw her walking home last night, uh-huh. so I didn't know how far down from the Main Street is
it? Oh, it's not any further from here down at the corner of the street.
A block.
Half a block. Something.
Yeah, okay.
It's not, well, I guess it would be a block.
Okay. I was going to ask you about, I listened to the tape and it was a very good interview. Thank you for doing it. And you were mentioned that you remembered four doctors before you came back with
mm-hmm.
your husband. Did would those be the doctors that you and your family went to if you were sick? Or
well, we went to Dr. Blackburn first, and then I had and Dr. Parrott was here.
Is that Parrott like the animal?
Uh-huh. Like the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so good, just. Kind of course then doctors came to see you come to the house if you need them, but this one said, well, I wouldn't go to that doctor because of this and that and somebody else said, well, I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
go to that one because this was relatives, not my relatives but my husband's relatives. Well, Dr. Willie and Dr. Hall and Dr. Reed and Dr. Grohl all came about, I think, maybe 1940 or latter part of 45 or 46, early 40s, 46. So I became pregnant and I thought, well, I'll just won't do the things y'all say. I'll just go to one of these new doctors. Then you've got no complaint because you don't know them.
That's right.
So I went to Dr. Willie.
That was good. That was his last name, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Willie?
Francis Willie.
Now, but as a child, do you remember going to the doctor? Ever having to go?
And I had the doctor come to see me because I would have sore throat, strep throat, and high
mm-hmm.
temperature and all of that. But that was Dr. Glisby, and he came from Wilmore.
Okay.
Which was 10 or 11 miles out to the in the country to where I lived.
So you never did come into town, as far as you know, and go to the mm-hmm. doctors here?
No.
What about after you got into high school?
No.
Do you still
we just weren't...
Just didn't go?
Didn't get
yeah.
sick.
Good.
We lived in Nonsuch, and there was a black sulfur well in our yard. I don't know whether that sulfur water had anything to do with keeping us well or not.
So, did your water taste?
Yuck, in the summer. We didn't, after we moved there, we didn't pay attention to it because we moved in the wintertime, and by the time summer arrived, well, you just didn't pay attention to it. You'd gotten used to it,
right.
And you didn't pay attention to it. But when we came from Louisville and would visit my uncles that lived there in the summertime, you could not, we just couldn't stand that water.
It does have a smell
and
everything, doesn't it? And
it's dark, it's blue looking.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know my brother, Charles, said, and my aunt that lived there was named Helen T. Wilson. And he said, I love Aunt Helen, but I don't like her tea. He was talking about the water.
Yeah, because it would make everything
oh,
nice,
just,
wouldn't it?
Oh, it was terrible. But if you'd put it in a gallon, or then you'd use these, we'd carry those gallon buckets or syrup buckets or whatever, it would eat that coloring off of it, and
oh,
they
would
turn just as black as they could be.
Wow.
But I just, the house burned, I don't know how many years ago, but, and that, there's nothing there now, and I just wonder what happened to the well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had a little house over top of it, and when you needed a bucket of water, you had to go out and draw it up with one of those long buckets that drop the bucket down and then bring it up full of water.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wonder, I bet the people who live there and own the farm, they have built a house on the back of the farm, and I bet they don't even know that there was ever a sulfur well there.
Yeah, they may not. They may not. I was also wondering about, you talked about there being 7 groceries downtown,
mm-hmm.
when during that period when you moved back.
Uh-huh,
I guess
in 45.
Right. When did they start going out of business? When did you start losing those, and which ones stayed?
I forgot there was another one. There was Heathman's too. So there was 8 groceries.
What was the name of that one?
Heathman.
Heathman.
But I guess when the older ones started dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that they just weren't replaced. Well, see, at the time when we came back, there was an A&P and a Kroger's, both on Main Street. And Kroger's then went up out of that block, which was South Main, and came up to the, which is now North Main. And, of course, the Presbyterian Church has now bought that building and made a educational building out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's when they started going out, because Kroger's got bigger, and then A&P left on Main Street and went around on the corner of Lexington and Locust. And then they were much bigger stores. They carried much more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now C&D stayed in business. At the time, it was Howard's, and Howard Campbell worked for it, but the man who owned it was Howard. And he died, so Howard Campbell bought it. He and Jay Kirk, and then they called it Jay's Market. Well, then...
And when would that have been, that change would have taken place? You know, I don't have to have exact year, but...
I have no idea, but I don't know, but I know Howard Campbell kept it from... He and then Preston Davis bought it, and I'd say within the last 10 years, because Howard got sick, he had cancer and whatever, and
mm-hmm.
And he has died too, and of course Preston Davis has died. So they go out, and when the
it stayed in business until the last decade
mm-hmm.
or so.
And they delivered groceries so until then.
Mm, that's nice.
And Blackburn Grocery, they delivered too.
How long did they stay in business? How about you?
Until I have no idea, but I'd say at least 20 years after we moved
mm-hmm.
here, which would be 65 or so.
Now, what was the effect of? Downtown, whenever, like, I see there's a Kroger's out on the main.
Uh-huh.
When did that start happening, where they kind of moved away from downtown? And
well, they moved, I think, in maybe 65 or 66 from downtown out to end of the bypass, which
mm-hmm.
is, I don't know, what Woodford Plaza, I think they call that. Then that store became too small. And they built onto the end of the mall and built the Kroger's bigger. Well, then within the last 4 years or so, they have gone out. I don't know what they call that mall out there.
No, I don't either. It's got a name, but I don't remember. But the big new
mm-hmm.
shopping center
mm-hmm.
where there's a Kmart now
mm-hmm.
and there's a...
And Henry Whitten was manager of the two that was in the Woodford Plaza. And he and I were out at Kmart, I mean, what Kroger's the day they opened, and he said, "Oh, Catherine, isn't this so nice?" And I said, "Henry, if I remember correctly, those other two that you opened were just as nice." He said, "Yeah, I guess they were."
Well, good for you.
And they were.
Yeah. We seem to want bigger and new. Well, what about downtown, though? What started happening with downtown when the stores, like when you got the Kmart and when you got...
Well, everything started... I mean, people didn't have the trade. When Moosenick's, that was one of the clothing stores. They died, so that went out. And then Prince and Princess came in there, which is Mrs. Alvis and her daughter, or daughter-in-law. They had children's clothes. They didn't have a complete clothes for men and women, too. So they lasted. Mrs. Alvis got so bad that she couldn't work, so that out there. They'd gone. But my boys had already outgrown their clothes before they went out, because they had such wonderful clothes. And then Barnes Brothers, that was had been Maston's, which I mentioned, is a men's clothing store. And I don't remember when the Barnes bought the store, but it was after we came back in 45. And then when they left town, actually, they just got older and they just weren't able to take care of it. So Leon Sutherland bought it, and he had it maybe 2 or 3 years, and then he sold it. Now, what is in there now? I don't remember. Because it's not the... what is in there? That's a blank. I don't know. Don't remember.
Now, where's that store located in relation to the...
Well, the Corner Drug was first, and then Maston's.
Okay.
And the... Barnes was next, and then Musi's was next.
Okay, so they were all right there in the row. And Corner Drug's still there.
Uh-huh.
But the other ones have gone out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Corner Drug has changed hands several times.
But it's still the same nature. It's a, uh-huh. Is it a pharmacy?
Mm-hmm.
And then a...
But it went completely out there for a while.
Oh, it did.
And the people of Versailles were missed it in their... bar,
mm-hmm.
their
meeting place.
Yeah. Place, so they all took up collections, and they finally got a place and a druggist to come back.
Well, that's great.
And I think that maybe now, I think her name is Frank, or at least that's what it's on the drugstore. She, I think they still deliver.
Do you know when they got together, the community effort? What?
I don't. It's within the last five or six years.
Okay, so real recently.
Uh huh.
Yeah. About how long had that stayed closed?
It probably stayed closed a year, year and a half.
Oh, just that long?
Uh huh. But now, one time it caught on fire when D.W. Slaughter had it.
Mm-hmm.
And how cold it was, icy. It was so cold that the poor firemen had ice hanging off of them. And then they went to up on North Main, then, where. Which had been the telephone exchange. And then from they stayed up there until they got this drugstore rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
But it caught on fire up, I don't know, in the attic, not in the attic, but up in the second floor or the storage room area or something. And so
when did
they were,
that happen?
I'd have to look at my scrapbook to
find
out.
But since you've moved back.
Oh, yeah, we've been back. Quite a long time when it burned. I don't remember whether it burned before the courthouse. I believe it burned before the courthouse, and the courthouse burned in 65.
Okay. So the groceries now downtown, are there any groceries? Uh-huh. No groceries downtown now?
Uh-uh. Of course, there's no drug stores down there either.
Except for the Corner Drug.
Yes, I mean, but most of your bigger chain groceries have chain drug stores have groceries in them. They may not have bread, but they'll have crackers
soups and
little stuff that you can manage to get by on if you're hungry. Real.
And so you don't have anything like that downtown now?
No, there's a CVS.
Yeah, CVC, I think.
Or whatever it is.
No, CVS, you're right.
Which is over on Lexington Street. But I don't know. I have never been in Frank's, the Corner Drug, since they've reopened it. And that's been a year and a half or 2 years. I don't go down Main Street. I don't walk.
Yeah.
and I go to the church, and I pull in the back of the church and go through that way, and that's about the extent of it. And then go to the Historical Society, which is down the other way. And
what church do you belong to?
Presbyterian.
Okay. I'm Presbyterian too.
Well, thank you. Glad to see you. Do you go where John Hunt used to preach?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, how is that's going on the tape?
Well, we'll pause for a minute. You talked about Russelltown being a black mm-hmm. neighborhood. Is that what it was, or was that a town?
No, it's just a little settlement of colored people. That's, well, I guess there must have been 60 or so people out there, because it was a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. When you say out there, how far away was that?
Just across the railroad, which is about a quarter of a mile. Well, it wouldn't have been that far until they made the bypass.
Because they moved some houses
uh-huh.
out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just an area, like in a lot of towns, where mm-hmm. most of the black people
mm-hmm.
lived. And
we had Russelltown, and we had Wooldridge Town, and we had Jacksontown. And then, I don't know whether there was another one or not.
And those were all considered black neighborhoods
mm-hmm.
within Woodford County, or were they
right in Versailles area?
Right in Versailles area, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about, in the tape, that there was a section of Main Street where there was quite a few black-owned
mm-hmm.
businesses, and then they went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little more about what type of businesses they were?
I just don't remember. I know they had a pool room, and that, as I said, Mr. Burchettam has a barbershop over there, but I don't remember. Because I wasn't, I was too busy with these little kids. I didn't have time to.
But when you said they kind of went out of business, when would that have been?
Well, when they built the A&P store, there had been a store, there had been some buildings there. One of them was Russ Raby had a garage, and then I think Riley's had a hardware store. And then there were three or four houses along on that street, and I think they all belonged to the colored people in that maybe that about that whole block
mm-hmm.
on that side, and they all had colored people in them, and there were apartments up over them and everything, and they were just colored people that lived there, and I asked one of the councilmen who is colored. Forgot his name, Luther Bland,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "Well, it was just money and alcohol." And the first thing you know, well, it was when the older ones died. Well, then they got other younger ones got them that. Well, they get big cars and whatever, and it was all gone.
So I'm just wondering when that was all gone. Was that 70s
or
60s?
Oh, I would say 70s. Yes,
okay.
By the 70s.
And so now, as far as downtown goes. There's not any, are there any black-owned and operated businesses that you know of?
There's no black-owned and operated business on that street. But now Margaret Wilson will probably tell you more about that, because since she lives right on that
sure.
street.
Yeah.
But I heard them talking yesterday or yesterday about one of those buildings that's right there that you I think it still must still belong to the colored people, because they said this colored man said, "You ought to see what this guy's done upstairs."
Oh, that's right.
So,
yeah.
Somebody, some blacks may still own that.
Mm-hmm. I heard her say.
So some blacks may still own that.
Mm-hmm. I heard her say
uh-huh.
that to Miss Wilson.
Yeah, that's
that
who
about,
we were
yeah.
talking to.
Well, also, what about now, or in the past 20 years, are there still black neighborhoods where mostly black people live, or is
mm-hmm.
it all real integrated in Versailles?
No, it's still about the same.
Yeah.
It's still about the same.
Yeah.
Because this is still Russelltown, now, although they've tore down a lot of buildings out here in Russelltown, and they've got a kindergarten or a preschool or something out there, and then they've got another building, because they've gone, I don't know what it was, what it is now, because I don't pay that much attention. Old people just don't pay that much attention. I know I'm not going to be going out there. I'm not. There is a grocery store around on Crossville, and I do go out there. Is going with somebody else, so I'm not paying that much attention.
It's Crossfield, a street.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have built, that was one of the newer streets that was on Mr. Fields' farm.
Okay.
And they've got a grocery store, and they've got a garages, and they've got a state transportation garage out there where they got all big trucks and whatever. Mm-hmm. And at one time, they had MB Foods, and they had Zesta Crackers was out there, and it's just a whole lot of things, but now they're gone and something else has moved in. So
it was a plant that produced the Zesta Crackers, or?
I guess it was just a distribution place.
Okay.
Because I think it's Ruggles Signs owns it now.
Okay. And now, how's Crossfield related to downtown area?
Crossfield comes off of the bypass and comes around onto Big Sink.
Okay. So it's close to downtown? I mean...
No, it isn't that close to downtown.
Okay, it's
not. No, that was the newer section. It was. I all had to be built after 59.
Okay. So some that kind of was a new business district that sprung
mm-hmm.
up around that time?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the downtown getting less
yes.
business then when
yes.
that started happening?
And there were a lot of empty stores. Of course, they tore down two stores when they tore down the courthouse. That was a clothing store and a Lancaster's, which was kind of a hardware or wasn't it? You couldn't call it a dime store because it wasn't a dime, but it had a whole lot of household
mm-hmm.
goods in it.
And when the courthouse burned in
uh-huh.
65, they had to tear down some other buildings. Or
well,
they, did.
They didn't have to. They did.
In order to build the courthouse back
mm-hmm.
bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
But when the old courthouse was there, and there's a picture of it up there on the wall. It was all painted white. That's the one at the top.
Mm-hmm.
It right next to it was a small building, and right in front of it was a fountain, water fountain, and the water came from Big Spring
uh-huh.
down at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And this restroom, the small room there, was a restroom for the women. Right off of Main Street, you stepped right into the building off. And I don't remember how many stalls it had, but anyway, but it was always dirty to me, so I never wasn't that interested in going.
Right.
But then right next to it was a clothing store. And I think of it as Tunes, T-U-N-E-S, but then I was reading where Miss Nellie Watts was in it, and that she had owned it, she and her husband had owned it, or at least that's what I was reading on the death certificates, that Nellie Watts was the store owner. So I don't know, I can't distinguish in my mind which was,
mm-hmm.
but I know when the Tunes owned it, and it was theirs, well, she worked for them. So I'm mixed up with it, I don't
yeah,
know.
But so same business, but just the ownership
uh-huh.
may have been.
And then there was a stairway that went up there between the buildings, and that went up to a lodge hall, but they had a dentist up there, and I don't know who else, but I just know the dentist was there. And then next to it was the Lancaster building, Lancaster's, who owned this. It had tin ware. They're advertising this galvanized ware. Well, they had a lot of that, your buckets, water buckets, and your things that you would use at the house, your tubs
mm-hmm.
and your kerosene lamps and just a whole lot of, well, it was houseware, stuff
mm-hmm.
that you would use in the house.
And that was Lancaster's.
Uh-huh.
And now, which of those buildings were torn down?
All
the
three of them.
Oh,
all
okay.
Everything was, that whole block was torn down.
I see.
And built the courthouse on the whole block.
Well, whenever you had that restroom for women, it was a public restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Was it segregated? Do you know if it was for colored people too, black people?
I don't remember ever seeing anybody colored people in there, so I probably was segregated.
Yeah. Do you ever remember seeing any signs in town that designated this being the door for or the entrance for blacks?
I don't remember. They may have been, but I don't remember
yeah.
seeing any. I didn't pay that much in, but I don't remember
yeah.
seeing any. I didn't pay that much attention to it, as I said, because I grew up with the colored people.
Right.
And I just didn't pay any attention to it. If I'd have seen it, I probably would have.
I was just wondering if
yeah,
because that bathroom would have been built you know, you said
yeah.
60. The courthouse burned in 65, so it was
before that.
And
I don't remember when segregation, when they started the children going to...
1954 was when the Brown decision versus the Board of Education.
But when they started making them go, letting the colored children go to the grade school,
yeah.
I don't remember. It had to be later than that, though.
Yeah, it would have been, took a few years before
yeah.
everybody started
uh-huh.
having to do it.
But there were colored children right across the street from the school, and they couldn't even go there to school.
They had to go to the school
uh-huh.
that was out of...
But then when it finally came around to it, there was no problem that I remember. I mean, they may have been, but I know Miss the principal, she said, oh, I see no reason why they can't, because they live right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they still wouldn't have been a mile from the school, actually, but still from their own school.
Right.
But still, it was, and I still say that they had better behaved children than we have now, and they had the... wrote their penmanship was much better
mm-hmm.
and their teachers was more strict and they were really really good children.
Well, we're about the end of this tape. I'll
okay.
turn it over. How has the appearance of the town changed, the downtown area changed over the years, you know, as far as...
Well, there hasn't been much difference in the buildings as far as the outside is concerned. And there's beautiful architecture. If you go down there and look at those windows up above those, oh, it's amazing. I mean, and nearly every building has a different type frame around the windows. And I don't know whether they're done in stone or what they are, but they'll have different kind of carvings on them. And
mm-hmm.
I'm always amazed when I'm upstairs of any of the buildings and I'm looking out right at that. And I'm like, oh, they just did such beautiful work.
So what brings you to be upstairs in some of the buildings sometimes? What are up there?
Well, if you go upstairs in the courthouse, I don't know what's up there now because I haven't been up there lately. Because it used to be the lawyer's office up there that I went to. And you could look out and see the ones that on Main Street and the ones on Court Street. While I was looking upstairs on the third floor, and I was looking out at the architecture of the building, I think the old court hotel was the one I was looking at
mm-hmm.
and seeing the structure on it. I just windows and things. I just thought they were so pretty. It's a shame we don't have a history of just the buildings themselves. And the architecture with the pictures in the book to show us.
I think that's what this project's working toward, the Main Street project as a whole.
Oh, really?
This is the oral history component, but
mm-hmm.
I think they'll be doing some more work with the architecture
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. You mentioned Christmas. I was wondering if, with you having a business that was near downtown and
mm-hmm.
then the pool hall too, what did Versailles do the downtown area for Christmas? Did stores decorate their front windows?
Oh, yes.
Did
yes.
they have Christmas parades?
Uh-huh. I think the parades and thing have become more prominent in the last, well, not when we first came back, but in the last 20 years or so,
mm-hmm.
because, I don't know, it's just, Christmas wasn't as commercial then as it is now. They might have put up a tree and they might have put some red crepe paper or something in the windows, but now you've got stores got Christmas lights
right.
in it and Christmas lights strung around it. And
well,
and
when you tell me about when you first moved here, what you remember then about Christmas in particular, and then as the years went on, how it changed. You tell me how those two changes, but
well, I don't remember being downtown that much, but I can tell you what when we had the store that they would bring these great big Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola would bring these great big Santa Clauses, cardboard Santa Clauses
mm-hmm.
for you to display in your store and bells and things to hang, and of course you'd decorate yourself. But so I'm sure that the other stores, if they had vendors coming in, that they would give them things
mm-hmm.
to decorate with. But every store would have your red and greens in the windows so that you would know that it was Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many years that they have had a hole in the ground street right there on the right-hand side of the courthouse. where they drop this great big tree in.
Oh, really?
That somebody gives them or that they'll go out and cut. And so they always have a great big tree, and usually the children make ornaments out of construction paper, mm-hmm. and whatever else, I don't know. But you see, different each year there's a different ornament hung up all on the tree that...
The children within the school systems do
uh-huh,
that?
Uh-huh.
And when do you remember that starting? How long back, how long ago was that? When?
As long as they've had the Christmas trees up, there's been somebody...
How long have you, do you remember...
I'd say
a community Christmas tree being...
Well, I'd say 30 years or longer than... Oh, be longer than that. I'd say 50 years.
Did they do that before they built the new courthouse, too? Was there a tree up?
That I cannot answer. But I'm sure there must have been.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, that's great that the school children... That's a project that
uh-huh.
they know they're going to do. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty interesting. I'd have to talk to somebody in the school system and see how they organize
uh-huh.
that and decided what to decorate.
And then, of course, the town... Now the town has a parade or something, and maybe the Kiwanis will have one, and somebody else will have one. As I said, I don't keep up with it anymore, but
mm-hmm.
I do know that there is a parade downtown, and it's usually the first week before Christmas, and I mean the first week of December
mm-hmm.
before Christmas, and they'll have a big parade, and now they've got so they get people to ride in the cars. You're a radio or television personalities and all of that,
mm-hmm.
which back years ago you didn't do that. You just might have got your mayor or somebody on your council. But
do you remember your children in school, schools marching in the parade or doing floats or anything like that?
My boys marched in the with the Boy Scout troops,
mm-hmm.
and I've got some pictures of that. But I don't remember the girls, not when they were smaller, I don't remember them being in the parade, and they weren't in any band or anything that would...
Right.
And I don't remember a brownie troop or a Girl Scout troop having a float or anything. I just don't remember.
Did the different businesses, did your store ever do a float?
No. No. Ours was too little. If one of us left, the other had to be there.
That's right. What about the churches?
I just don't remember. I know that that we would have something on Veterans Day, and I know one time I was asked to ride in the parade, which has been about 10-12 years ago, because I was a veteran.
Right.
But I don't. And they were honoring. I think they were honoring the. How long has it been since the Gulf War? Maybe that's what it was. They had this parade then
mm-hmm.
down there, and because they honored all of the veterans, so that was a nice parade too.
What are the main churches that have influenced downtown?
Well, we've got a Christian, we've got the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Episcopal, and the Baptist, and then right behind the Baptist and the Episcopal is the AME Episcopal, which is a colored
mm-hmm.
church. And then down on South Main, there's a First Baptist Church, which is colored.
And then kind of going out of or going towards Frankfort on 60, there's the Catholic Church too, right? And
uh-huh.
Is that considered the...
Well, there was a Catholic Church. It isn't anymore.
Oh,
they have sold that, and it's used as called Victorian Abbey, and she has catered parties and.
Oh, so that white church that was the Catholic church.
With all the beautiful stained glass windows.
It's not their church anymore.
No.
They've built a new one somewhere.
Yes, they built a new one out on Huntertown Road.
Okay. Okay.
And it's a tremendous big church, and they say that they have a tremendous big crowd. Of course, they have mass on Saturday night and mass Sunday, and
mm-hmm.
and so many. I think they have more on Saturday nights than they used to have the whole church would hold, because this is a very small church. But it just broke my heart that they didn't take their stained glass windows, because they're all named for who donated them.
Mm-hmm.
And out there they have no color, that no stained glass windows at all.
Mm.
And they have no statues out there in the church.
It's a different, the new church in Frankfort, the new Catholic church, is a whole different direction. It's not traditional, and it doesn't have statues and that sort of thing either. So I guess that's what modern churches are moving towards, maybe.
And the thing I didn't like at the didn't care for at the Catholic Church out here, St. Leo's, they put a big glass window up behind the minister, and when you're looking at the minister, priest, all you're seeing is a silhouette because you've got so much light coming in behind him that you can't see anything but just a... And I was at a Methodist church in Lexington, and it was the same way. You couldn't see who the minister was or who was in the... If they had a choir loft or choir up there, you couldn't see because of all the light shining in, and you were just looking into that bright light.
I wonder if they did that on purpose to...
I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like they
because it would cost
it
a fortune to put it in there
right.
that way.
So there's been a big change, I think, in just the past decade of the way churches are thinking of themselves. Because personally, I like the historical churches.
I do too, and I hate for to see them get rid of anything that's historical. If it can be repaired and made over and used. I think it should be kept. We had some beautiful old, I don't know how long they've been there, because they've been there since I have, at the Presbyterian Church. Chairs with all these little knobs and things all over them. And it was made, the seat was covered with red velvet and some and the arms and all. And they decided that, somebody decided this is going to make needlepoint for them. And some raised cane, they said, oh, that wasn't appropriate. But they did such a beautiful job with that red, it's almost the same color red as the velvet was, with the arms and the seat. And then somebody drew a picture in the back of the seat. And one of them has a cross, a white cross in it, with something else around it, vines or something around it. And the other has a crown with the purple flowers in it. But I love the one with the cross, but I guess it's because that white against that red, and it is so pretty. And he's almost afraid to touch him or sit out in him. But whoever the refinisher was, they did a beautiful job. And we've got some other pieces that I wish that they would save, too. The two-seater that they used to have on the pulpits years and years ago, of course, there's no room for them anymore. I don't know where we would put them if we had them. But I just hate to see antiques gotten rid of.
Yeah, well, they have a special meaning, I think.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not continue it, then you're not passing that on to, I don't know, different philosophies about things, I guess. But, so the churches, they've all pretty much, except for the Catholic one then, are still concentrated downtown.
Uh-huh. We've got three Christian churches I know real close. There's one out here on the Lexington Road, Woodford Christian, and the South Side Christian, I guess it is, out on 33. And I have heard that the Methodist is wanting a bigger place, but now they've done a tremendous lot of work on their church, and then they've got a tremendous big educational building. So I don't know. They may have a whole lot more members. They may have to go do like us. Have to go to two services.
Well, have you seen the Presbyterian Church and other churches? Their membership has stayed real high. And
well, ours has improved, has increased, but I don't know about the others.
Yeah. So would you say that the churches have had a big influence in Versailles, keeping it more conservative and?
Well, I hope so. That's all I can say. I hope so.
Well, what's your feeling about the town now as it's changing and going? It seems like, do you feel like there's still a sense of community here in Versailles?
It's not a small community like it was, because you knew everybody. As you went down the street, you spoke to everybody, and everybody spoke to you. If you went into a grocery store or any store, and you didn't have any money, you said, well, give me a check. They had counter checks then. Now you have to have a personal check with all this.
Oh, really? They had counter checks?
They kept counter checks.
And you could just write them when you were there.
You could write them when you were there. It, you asked for told whichever one you wanted. You just had two banks. You had United and Woodford. And you just tell them, well, I want a Woodford check. And they'd give it to you and you write it. Of course, they knew you. You knew.
Right.
And my son-in-law was with me and he said, I never saw such in your life. He said, you go down there without a penny. You go to the store and you get what you want. He just could not get over.
Is that still going on?
No.
Yeah. When did that stop?
Well, it stopped at least 10, 15 years ago.
It was still happening in the 90s, you think?
Uh-huh.
And it was, which stores would do that? Every store?
Yeah. At most every store that you went into had it.
So the downtown stores, the drug stores, and the
But now you've
stores.
Got to have your own personal check that nobody holds it, keeps a check.
But each one of those businesses you were talking to me about, how early do you remember that being something that they did? Was that happening when you first moved here?
Yes, when we came back here, it was still happening. It was a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sign said 2,400 when we first come back here.
But as far as being able to write those counter checks,
you could walk into Kroger's or Newberry's or any place that you wanted. If you didn't have a check, well, you just say... Of course, you went to the bank, you picked up your little package of checks that you wanted. They had some that folded up about that so big a square, about 2 inches square, that you could stick in your pocket, and you just carried your check with you that way. There was no numbers on them, no nothing. But they looked at your signature then too.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't look at your signature. That machine looks at your number, and that's it.
That's right.
There's no personal. Thing.
That's true. Yeah.
And if you wrote if they got a check on you that was too big, they would call you and ask you, did you write that? Was this what you intended to do?
And then would they allow you to come put some more funds in if you
Well, I mean, no, I don't mean I don't mean an overdraft. I mean if somebody else had the check made out to them, a personal check. Made out to some person, and this was a little bit too big, and they thought, well, they didn't.
Oh, they thought maybe that someone might be trying to forge your name.
Uh-huh.
They would call and check.
Yes, they would.
Wow.
They sure would.
That was taking care of their customers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I have let a check go through without my name on it, and they call and say, okay, just send it on through because. I just forgot to sign it because you write all this and you forget to put your name on it. Put everything on but your name. But it was so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same way with your telephone. When we first came back here, you call it, use the phone and you tell them who you wanted. And of course, they recognized your voice. You recognized their voice. So you knew who you were talking to, and if you wanted the doctor, well, he's out at so-and-so's house. We'll give him word as soon as he gets back or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of phone numbers did you have?
Well, you didn't have but two or three numbers then.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have all your whole rigmarole that you have now. You got seven now.
And
if you're right in town.
Each time you wanted to call somebody, would you call in and talk to a switchboard person?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The switchboard asked your number, please. And you would tell them what number you wanted, and that was...
When do you remember that starting to change?
It had gone out before the corner drug burn. And they started putting in dial phones. And when they did that, well, that's when they... got rid of the telephone operators here in town who would know who you were. And then, of course, they were still operators. If you call long distance or something, well, you had an operator to tell them what number you wanted.
And about what year was it that the corner drug burned?
It had to be before 65.
Okay.
So, because when the corner drug burned, well, then they went up to the old telephone building until they could get the corner drug back in shape.
Okay. Well, you talked, you said Monday in our interview, you were talking about the policemen and how they really watched out for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What about the firemen and the other city services, how is that?
Well, they were all volunteer.
The firemen were?
And then they weren't, of course, they were, I guess they were paid, but still, when the fire siren went off, everybody in town heard it. And everybody wanted to know. And so they had a lot of volunteers who were not volunteers, mm-hmm. a lot of people who would follow the fire truck.
To help or?
Well, to help or just see.
Right.
Get in the way. And a lot of them did. But then they got a different type of system, and I don't remember when they got the different system, that only the firemen heard the siren. Or maybe they didn't hear the siren, but they were called. They had a beeper or
mm-hmm.
something that, so that stopped all of this extra traffic. But I mean, when you hear a fire siren, well, everybody was going.
And that you noticed that happening during what years, and then when did it change over?
Well, I know when we lived down on Cleveland. There was a building caught on fire across the street from us. And people come from everywhere. Now, even on Elm Street, a young woman came in, and she pulled up my drive and pulled up in my yard. Not in my drive, but in my yard, which we didn't do. And it made me mad, and I'm still mad about it, I guess. It's the reason I'm telling about it. But, I mean, it was that type of thing, that everybody mm-hmm. came and they parked wherever they could. Of course, that a lot of times that would be in the way of the firemen, so they couldn't get
mm-hmm.
to the fire hydrants. And
so it was kind of a big mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was much better after they started. But now I hear them when they go out because the fire department is right across the bypass on Big Sink Pike,
mm-hmm.
and I hear the fire trucks go out and the ambulance go out. And
so you can wonder, they're doing something.
And, of course, I do have that you can pick it up, scanner.
The scanner.
But I don't want that thing turned on all the time. I don't. But some people have the scanner going so they
yeah.
know everything that
yeah,
goes
they
on,
do.
But I don't.
What about, does the town have a city park? Does Versailles have a city park?
Yes, there's two or three now. There was one down in behind the courthouse. Down in the bottom behind
mm-hmm.
the courthouse. And they've got a real nice place there. But it was made, I guess, more for children. Of course, they've got a lot of walking paths now, and they got a big pavilion. They call it Macaulay's. And then they had a big buildings down there that had offices and everything that just within the last 20 years that's taken care of all your recreation department and
mm-hmm.
everything. But they've also now moved out to on Lawrenceburg Road, and I was out there at a reunion, and I think they had 19 ball games going.
Oh, they got the ballparks
out there, and they didn't have a swimming pool out there, but they had all that. They had pavilions and all kind of spaces out there. But now they have come along and built a tremendous big building. I don't know how much that thing cost, but it's supposed to have swimming pools and walking tracks in it and everything else.
Is that out there
Health
near the
center.
Same
mm-hmm.
near the same park
mm-hmm.
on Lawrenceburg Road?
Yeah.
The city park that's in town behind the courthouse, did your kids go there and play, get basketball and
no.
stuff like that?
No.
But did neighborhood children do that?
Other neighborhood children down in that area did,
yeah.
but mine never did out here. There was enough places out here for them to play without.
Mm-hmm.
Needed to go. It was nothing but up and down this old railroad, because when it was used early on to deliver coal out to Hogg's Coal Yard, which was on Lexington Street or Lexington Road, and then they quit getting coal, so the tracks are still there and still belong to Hogs, and they would clean them off sometime, which right now they've got them real cleaned off real good.
But trains don't run on them anymore.
Uh-uh, but the tracks are still there,
mm-hmm.
and it's makes a rough spot when you come across there. But they'd get out there and play, and then the neighbors would have, and we did too, had swimming pools and the kids would get out and play mm-hmm. in them. And I mean, it was just the whole neighborhood that just all played together. And of course, at night, then we did have, we used to have a Woodamere swimming pool, and of course that was members only. But nearly have all the people here on this street had kids that went out there. Mm-hmm. So when I'd come home at work from down at the store at 6 o'clock at night, well, my driveway was full of kids jumping up and down wanting to go to the swimming pool. So we'd go to the swimming pool to the close.
Where was that located?
It was out in Clifton Heights, but I don't know the name of the street it's on. But now they've got done away with that, and they've got a nursery out there, so I've heard. But I also have that all the neighborhood boys in. Well, when the girls were a little younger, I had all the neighborhood girls in. We'd have 4-H classes, or we'd have sewing classes. Mm-hmm. And we'd sit here and sew till midnight with all 4 or 5 girls, mine and in the neighborhoods. And then we had, when the boys came along, well, I had lumber. I was making wooden things. And we would make toolboxes, and we'd make tool trays, and we made picnic tables, and mm-hmm. we made lamps, and just...
Now, you did this as just because you wanted to, or as part of a county extension class?
Well, it was for their 4-H. They,
okay.
And they would, one of them won a blue, the grand champion on the picnic table, and one won a grand champion on his light.
Uh-huh, great.
So they were thrilled to death. But I'd have 8 or 10 boys.
So that was a big thing in the community as your children were growing up with uh-huh. 4-H. People got mm-hmm. involved in that. Mm-hmm. And
the basement that you saw, it's so full now, that was full of boys and mm-hmm. tables and things that we were making down there.
So you were a volunteer leader, and
uh-huh.
other parents, would they do other things too? Or?
Well, they didn't with those boys.
Yeah.
Because I had boys, so we did things, and can I do that? Yeah. And that was always fine.
I bet they enjoyed that.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Having a place to work and learn some skills.
Uh-huh.
What about the public library? Does Versailles have one, and
yes.
where is it?
It's on Main Street. It's called Logan Helm. And when we first came back here, it was a very small. The building was big, but the part of the library was small.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the building was used for McCamish's dry cleaning. And I don't know when that went out, but I know that my neighbor next door was Teresa Fitzgerald, and she got the people together, and they signed enough petitions that they passed a tax. The Versailles City has got a library tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so the library has improved considerably.
And when would that tax have gone into? When did they fight for that? And
I don't know how long Teresa's been gone. Been moved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been at least 20 years.
Yeah, but up until then, so it was just
a small
library.
Uh-huh.
But once that happened, what was the response in the community about that tax?
Well,
do you know if it was
favorable? It was not favorable. Anytime you want to put on a tax,
right,
it's not
right.
favorable.
But do you feel like it's been a benefit for the community, the public library?
Well, I'm sure it must have been. I have my own books, and I just don't get out and go to the library to get them. But occasionally I do. But I don't think I've had a library card in 4 or 5 years. So maybe it's been 25 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Time goes fast.
It does go by fast. Were there any other things you can remember about downtown that you'd like to share
Well, there used to be a Hobbs, which was a dime store there on Main Street, and there was beside the library, and there was also, at one time, there were several places that sold cars.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call those?
Car dealerships.
Car dealership, right. But then they moved further out Main Street, Main Street, onto Frankfort Street, But there was a Packard dealership around on Green Street, and then after he died or left, they put a laundromats in there, and now the laundromats I see are closed up. So there's just so many changes
mm-hmm.
that you
the Packard's dealership was that
was
the name of the person who owned it.
It was
what did they say? What kind of car?
Ryan Thompson was the Packard dealership.
What kind of vehicles do they sell?
Packards.
Okay, I didn't even know that was a vehicle. I'm sorry. That shows how.
That shows you how.
It shows how.
Well, the two main cars was, of course, you had your Rolls Royce from England, but you had your Packards, you had your Cadillacs and your Packards.
Okay. Well,
your Cadillacs are still around, but the Packard dealership went out, and they were a good car because we had several of them.
And the Packards were family cars?
Okay. But I never had a desire for a Cadillac. I never was, but I always thought I'd like to have a Packard. Well, I think we had had Chevrolets, and Mr. Dixon had a Chevrolet place on North Main Street. And Macaulay's had a Dodge and Buick and whatever on the main street, right there next to it on North Main Street. And then Mr. Thompson had the Packard place. And I don't know who had the Ford at that time or where it was. I just don't remember. But I think Hillard and Rice may have had it when we came back, which was on Lexington Street. Well, we came back from service, and we had an old car that was so beat up that they wouldn't even let me park it on Main Street.
They had some rules about that?
No, the thing of it is the gas tank would only hold 3 gallons of gas because it had a hole in the gas tank. So apparently I put too much gas in it. It was leaking, so they asked me to move. So anyway... And, of course, it's laughable. But and this old car was so bad that when you took off, the back wheels would still stay there, and then it'd have to catch up with you. But anyway, we finally got Mr. Dixon. My husband had put it. You had to put your name in and try to get a car, get on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But we waited and waited and waited. We didn't get on the Ford list, and that's what he had his name on. So this Mr. Dixon said, well, I'll get you one, and he had Chevrolet, so we got it. Well, it wasn't but about $2,000, and we kept the Chevrolets for, I don't know, several years, and then he was talking to Mr. Thompson. Of course, he was in the pool room. It had been within the first 7 years, and he said they got to talking, and Packard was maybe $300 or $400 more than the Chevrolet, so we ended up with a Packard.
What color was it?
It was green.
What color green?
It wasn't as dark green as that chair. It wasn't a hunter green,
okay.
But it was a light hunter green. But it was only maybe $2,600 or something at that time.
Brand new car.
Brand new, yeah.
Well, that certainly changed the price of the cars.
And it had an overdrive on it, which you got tremendous gas mileage. Am I running out again?
Yeah, we are. Let's end this tape here.
Okay.
Okay, I think we'll do some follow-up from the last interview.
That's fine.
And then we'll go into some new questions.
Okay.
Tape 2 of the second interview with Catherine Giles on January the 25th, 2002. We were just talking about they had gotten a Packard car,
uh-huh.
and that would have been sometime between 1945 and 1950.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because about 50, what would have been 50, I guess, when we got the car, because we went to the ball game in Orange Bowl game. Football game in Florida in 51, January 51, and my mother and father went with us. And then you go across the Ti-Miami Trail, and there was nothing there except just the road. And mother said, Stanley, do you know how fast you're driving? And the thing was sitting on 90.
Oh, wow. That car would go.
So we enjoyed that Packard. Well, it was not automatic. It was a gear shift. So then when Packard came out with this new automatic that you didn't have to change gears, well, we got one of those, and it wasn't fit to bring home.
Mm.
It was in the garage more than it was we went to New York in it, and they said, well, it was a harmonics. Well, it was harmonics all right. Every time you turn around, there was something wrong with it. He took it to Louisville to have it worked on. Packard was paying for it. They got it up in the garage. The day he went to get it, it had the electric had gone off. They couldn't get it down out of the top of the garage.
Yeah, time with that car, huh?
He was going to somewhere to buy some stuff for the when we had the taxi stand, and they were the police had him stop a roadblock because he was working on the colored college. Somebody back ended it. Got that fixed. So he was going down Locust Street. Somebody backed out of an alley, backed in the side of it. There was something that happened to it every time you turned around. So he finally took it to Featherston's, which was a Packard place in Lexington, and traded it off for another Packard. And the poor man that bought it, he was going, I don't know whether he was going home with it, but he had it, and he was crossing a railroad track, and a train hit it.
Oh, my gosh. That car just didn't want to stay alive,
It was a lemon or Joner or something from Mark from the time he come off the rack.
Now, when you said he went to Lexington to the Packard dealership.
Apparently, there was no Packard dealer in here then.
It must have gone out.
Gone out, yeah. Uh-huh. Because I think Ryan Thompson had gone to Featherston.
How long do you think you kept your first car?
Oh, well, we probably kept it 2 years.
Just two? Yeah. Uh-huh. You just mentioned you had a taxi stand?
Yes.
Where did you have the taxi stand?
It was right on the corner of Main and Lexington Street.
And you all owned and operated it?
He had the pool room and the taxi stand at the same time.
Okay.
And they bought two new Chevrolets from Mr. Dixon to put on the taxi stand. So for that was a...
And who did he hire to drive it? Just people?
Well, one of the boys that worked for him at the pool room, he drove part time. In fact, he was in partners with him. And the others I don't remember, but I remember this one little man that they had a new baby, and I remember the child weighed 4 pounds when it was born. That's all I can remember. I can't remember his name.
Well, did the taxi stand have a name? You know, how would people call for a taxi?
It was just taxi, and just the number, but it was Giles and Nellis Turner were in that together.
What was his name, Turner?
Nellis, N-A-L-I-S.
Okay. I haven't heard that name before.
No.
So if you wanted a taxi, you would call up on the phone? Did they have a...
It would just be a taxi. I mean, the phones, as I said, didn't have all that numbers. You just said it was a taxi, and I don't even remember what the numbers were.
There goes our clock again. It's noon again.
We're going to have to go out to lunch somewhere, I think.
We will.
But,
So how long did they keep the taxi stand?
Oh, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Then did someone else buy it, or did it just go out?
Somebody else bought it.
So how long do you remember, that's a business we hadn't talked about, being here in town. How long was there a taxi there?
Oh, there were taxis before when we moved here, and there was taxis, I'd say, within the last 10 years. And every once in a while, somebody will come in and try to start one, but there's just not enough taxi used for people to make a living.
Well, as you remember, it was the taxi stand always there where your husband had it, or that was...
No. When we first came back here, it was a Glass's grocery store. And then when they moved out, the door came right out onto the corner, the two streets. It was a corner. And there was a lot of glass both ways. There was a glass grocery company.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know where they operate out of Lexington or where they operate out of Frankfort, but this was Goliath's Grocery. Mm-hmm.
And so when they went out of business, your husband...
They had this taxi stand in there. I guess whoever was running had been running the cab that wanted to get rid of it or something. And
yeah.
So they...
Can you describe what it looked like, the business, the building? Not the building. Inside, were there counters?
Yeah, we had glass showcases and course, there was an office, I mean, a desk or something. There was no office. But now the Turners tried to live in the back of it, of the store,
mm-hmm.
which was hard on them because with all the glass and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We would go to Horse Cave and different places and get souvenirs and things that had Kentucky on them, you know, so that... And we had a lot of that in there. We sold a lot of that stuff.
Oh, you did? And that's uh-huh. what you put in the glass
uh-huh.
cases?
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like a
souvenir stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that
people uh-huh.
could come in.
And being right on the corner. And then we didn't have a bypass, so the people who was going through town, well, they would see it too and
mm-hmm.
stop. And
so but it was more than just a taxi stand.
Uh-huh. We did right well with it. After a while, of course... I guess we had it before we come out to the pool room. Before we come out to the store, this grocery store, we had sold it all out. And I think Mr. Turner operated after we left, and then I don't know who he sold
mm-hmm.
it to.
Okay. Did it stay that type of business for quite a while?
Well, I'd say a year or so, because then somebody would find a smaller place that they could go to and use, you know, take with less heat and less everything.
Less overhead.
Uh-huh.
And they'd move the taxi
yeah.
service
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
Then what did that building become that was in the years following
it
that?
It had a Ben Franklin store in it, I think. Which,
yeah.
after that.
And that stayed there for?
It stayed there several years.
And what would that have in it?
Well, it was just like a dime store.
Yeah.
And I know at Christmas time they always had the basement open because that's where they usually had their Christmas things.
When you say Christmas things, what did they have special?
Well, they would have had your trees, you would have had your dolls, you would have had your whatever sleds or whatever for children that you had for
mm-hmm.
Christmas. But upstairs they didn't have racks and shelves like they had now. They had a flat counter which was 3.5 feet tall, like your tables are a little taller, and you looked down on what you were buying. You didn't go along and pick it off or pull it
mm-hmm.
off of a top shelf.
You would just ask for that certain item and they'd get it from
No,
somewhere
I mean
else?
It would be laying right in front of
oh,
you.
Okay.
You'd go along just like you look at this stuff on the table and you pick it up and they'd have it divided off in partitions, so much for this tape and so much for these
sure.
stuff. And so much for your Kleenex
uh-huh.
and things, and you'd go along and pick it up. And so much for your underwear, if you had your underwear, your pants, your bras, or your
okay.
socks or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had your embroidery threads and your embroidery pieces that you could buy, which would be made out, some of them were linen then. You can't buy linen now, something stamped already to embroidery when you got
uh-huh.
home with it, and your embroidery hooks and all that kind of, I mean, hoops. They would all be in a certain areas. This, and you'd have crochet thread, and you'd have all your crochet books and all that kind of stuff in along. But it was, you could see from one end of the store to the other because they didn't have all this
aisles dividing it all up with
tall
shelves
uh-huh. like they do now.
Yeah.
And usually, they had a cash register at each counter. Now, they also had that in Lexington, too. They had Kresge's and Woolworth's and Schulte's, and each long counter had its own head person who headed it up or took care of it,
mm-hmm.
and they also had their own cash register
okay.
that took care of that whole...
So if you bought something from that aisle,
you'd
go to that
it.
One cash
mm-hmm.
register.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said that they had... Christmas stuff. Is that where you would go shopping for your children for Christmas?
Well, then I could go to Lexington, but I would drive to Lexington, but there was always things that I bought at
yeah.
Ben Franklin. And
what did your kids go down and look at the stuff and
oh,
make
yes.
their wish list
oh,
from there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Would that be a special time that y'all would come downtown and look
well,
for Christmas
yes,
things?
Well, no special time, because any time you went to town with you, of course, you was going to town to go to the grocery store anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and it was only about 4 or 5 buildings down the street from the grocery store.
And so they'd go look. And,
uh-huh.
and
of course, they always looked when I went. They didn't go by themselves.
You always went with them, yeah. Yeah,
they kept pretty close rein on them because
And then it was, you weren't afraid of them getting lost or anything. That you just, it was just controlled.
Right. Sure. Yeah, it wasn't the same fear of a stranger coming and getting them. It was just...
And my kids spoke to everybody that they met.
Friendly children like their mother.
It was, and so sometime I was saying, well, you shouldn't speak to everybody, but then I was speaking to everybody, so.
Yep, set an example. Well, how long do you remember the Ben Franklin being there and being that type of store?
Probably 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Hobbs store that was up, that went into, up above the library, and that was a dime store type thing too, and that's when I guess that may have been about the time that Ben Franklin went out, and I don't know how long that was. The years have just zipped by.
Right, and well, we can find those dates in a book, but so it was on the second floor of the building where the library was?
No, it was up above, up the street.
Oh, up the street from it, okay.
North up the street from it. And they had a big building there, and they were there for a long time, too. The Ben Franklin and Hobbs may have overlapped, I don't know, the time period.
H-O-B-B-S?
Uh-huh. And when they went out, well, then they had a furniture store in there, and then when that went out, there was a health center in there. Now it's empty. But Hobbs was run by Mr. Smith. Charles Smith. His last name was Smith, and then he went out. Hobbs went out in this Woodford Plaza, mm-hmm. where the Kroger store was. And after Mr. Smith got so he couldn't work, well, then his son Terry took over. Now Terry's running,
but it's
Terry's now. Okay. Instead of Hobbs, it has nothing to do with it. It's Terry's now.
Still the same type of store.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a dime store.
It starts from that on up.
Yeah. Well, when Ben Franklin was considered a dime store, were there a lot of things for a dime in there?
Or? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You could even gotten something for a nickel then.
Okay.
Too.
Unheard of now, isn't it?
But Terry's is out in the Woodford Plaza shopping center, and bless his heart, he does such a good job. If you can't find anywhere else, go to Terry's. Of course, you ought to go to Terry's first. and we do. But he's got all kinds of penny candy. And that was one thing that we had at our store was penny candy. I had 27 different kinds of penny candy.
And it was all for a penny.
All for a penny. It's sometimes two for a penny. And the little children in this whole neighborhood would come in, and he would spend an hour spending getting the nickels for the candy.
Trying to pick out what they're going to get.
I think I'll just have this one. But the children, it's wonderful. I see the children today, and you're Mrs. Giles. I was in K-Mark one day this week, and she said, "You Miss Giles that runs the grocery store?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I thought you were." I said, "Yeah, I remembered you coming in the store." But it was wonderful. The children, and we had colored and we had whites, and some of them would take things, although not bad until the latter years. But if they did something that was wrong in the store, I corrected them.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents, apparently they didn't go tell the parents, but the parents never said a word. I think I said that the other day.
Yeah, you did tell me that. When did you see penny candy no longer being penny candy? You know, when did that start happening?
We closed the store.
So up until the 70s then?
Yeah, we closed the store in 76.
So you still had some penny candy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. But we didn't have as many because the prices had gone up, so we just gone down to the penny candy. And Terry's got a whole lot of that out to his store now.
Now, what prompted them to move out there? Just because Kroger's was?
I guess Hobbs moved out there, and was the traffic, more traffic out there at that time.
Because that's the bypass that already got
I think They must have moved out there in 60, I mean, Kroger's moved out there in about 66 or 67, because it was shortly after the fire in the, at the courthouse that they moved out there.
And then Hobbs moved out there after
that.
It just became kind of...
I think they moved out there, maybe it's later than that, because Terry's in the old Kroger store, so it had to have been later than that. Maybe 70.
Okay.
But Terry's store, you can hardly get through it. There's so much stuff in it. And but they have such a hard time getting help anymore.
And people to work.
Uh-huh.
Did you find that, well, you didn't hire anybody else, but do you think that was a problem with the downtown businesses staying open?
Yes.
Finding reliable help.
Yeah, and of course they didn't stay open at night anyway. And the other bigger stores stayed open at night. And then the factories came in, too. Mm-hmm. See, and when the factories came in, well, people had different shifts that they worked. And so that then they wanted to go shopping at different times. And, well, you're not open, so I can't come to your store. And it's that.
Oh, yeah. So you saw that as a decline in the business of the small town.
And some of them worked on Sunday and... at the factories, and, well, I can't come. So then they had to open up, start using stores and restaurants and things on Sunday. And
did the hours of downtown change, trying to adapt to that? And
yes, they did. Yes,
was
they
that
did.
A positive thing or not?
No,
yeah.
It didn't help at all.
So are they still open in the evening hours sometimes?
No, only on what evening is it they open? There was one evening last year that they were going to be open until 8 o'clock, but I don't, it was something before Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, to give people a chance to come downtown.
Uh-huh.
It does make it hard. You can see both sides of the store.
Yeah.
You know, like, but if you work until 4:35 and everything closes at 4 or 4:30,
and you couldn't. Of course, the courthouse used to be open on Saturday too, and the farmers could come in on Saturday and go to the courthouse. And I mean, it was opened. And. But now, of course, the courthouse is closed on Saturday. So if a farmer's got any business at the courthouse, he's got to come during the week.
Bless you.
Whether he wants to or not.
Right, yeah. And when did that
stop? Oh, gosh. I guess when they built the new courthouse.
Really that long ago? Yeah, that is the problem. And then some businesses only, some of those offices only stay open until 4:30, and you're trying to get in here before.
And, of course, a lot of people come when I was a teenager and whatever. They come once a week. Or once every 2 weeks, whatever they needed, whenever they needed extra groceries or something. But and there would be people sitting out on the street at the courthouse and on the steps. And, of course, they bring the chairs out of the courthouse if it was hot because it wasn't in air condition, and sit out on the street. And it would also, if you got to town and you got a parking place, you didn't want to move because you could. That's where you socialized.
Okay.
But and some people living in Versailles would bring their cars to town and park them, walk home for lunch, and come back.
On those days when everybody was coming to town.
On a Saturday.
So that was that. Saturdays were the big days.
So you could socialize, yeah.
And when. You remember that happening when you were in high school or after you got
back
here?
Well, it had to be when I was in high school, although I didn't come much when I was in high school. It had to be after I got out of high school.
After you got out of high school, you were working before you went to be in the Army? Was it still going on after you got back here, you and your husband? You mainly come on Saturdays?
Yes, it was.
And I know some towns... still now they celebrate court days where they had. Do you remember that happening?
It wasn't here.
Yeah.
We didn't have it here.
Yeah.
They would have a street dance every once in a while. They'd close off the street beside the courthouse, and then they would have a band, and they would dance in the street, on that street.
During the summertime?
Uh-huh.
Would that be associated with any
holiday? Not necessarily. I don't remember who was having it. And now in the summertime, they have a farmer's market down on the court.
They do, yeah, every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then, do they, you said you didn't remember who put that together, the street dance?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Do you remember that happening when you were in high school? And
No, not in high school. I don't remember in high school.
After you got back
mm-hmm.
here, after you married?
Mm-hmm.
And going on for how long?
They might have been 3 or 4 years or something. I don't know.
Okay.
It wasn't
decades at a time.
No.
Okay.
But another thing they had was an old fiddler's contest here.
Oh, really?
But they had that held that at the it was a high school, and they would hold it in the gyms, the high school gym.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the high school gym was not in the basement; it was in the sub basement. And then it had a platform around it. What do you call that?
The stage?
No. But anyway, and that's where the people would sit, and the music would be down on the basketball.
Oh.
Floor.
So they'd be raised.
So the audience would
be raised up, and they'd be down, kind of.
What do you call that? Blank.
The bleachers.
No, it ain't bleachers because it wasn't bleachers. But anyway, and I'm wondering why in the world they didn't hold it in the auditorium, because the auditorium was on top of that, and it was a much bigger place.
I don't know. Was it in the summertime?
No, it was in February.
In February.
It's always around George Washington's birthday.
Okay. And they had a fiddler's contest.
Uh-huh.
And
we had some good ones.
When did that happen?
Now, that was back in the 30s.
Okay.
And on to the every once in a while they'll have one now. But they used to have one every year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they don't have them now because they don't have the fiddlers.
Probably don't have as many, yeah. Yeah. Are there any gatherings now that the community does with music or dances that you know of?
Not that I know of. There may be, but I'm sure that the high schools, those who are involved with the high school children
mm-hmm.
and all would know. Although they go in more for basketball and football and soccer
sports,
and rather than that, but now they do have music out there. But they would have it. Whatever they would have would probably be at the high school, which is, and they have a stage out there too. Excuse me.
Pause for the phone. Now we're back from the phone call. We were talking about different events. What about when your kids were in school? Were they still having annual events of any kind?
Oh, they would have sock hops for the girls.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and where would they be held?
They were going to what is now the middle school. So it was high school, and then it was junior high, and then middle school. And then the boys also went there, but they were going to junior high when they were there.
They kind of switched the grades.
Uh-huh. And then they went out to the high school, which is out on Frankfort Street.
Mm-hmm. So they'd have sock hops how often?
About once a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And
those were dances, I guess,
uh-huh.
right? And they played 50 music?
Oh, yes.
Would you ever go and be a...
No, I would... No, I didn't go. I would take them but,
mm-hmm.
and bring them back, but I wouldn't go with them. I'll let them take care of that.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't go. I had two little boys.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right. And they probably weren't welcome, were they?
Well, they would have been the show. But when the girls were 14, and one of them was 12, one was 14, then they had the boys.
Oh, so, yeah.
So.
You waited quite a while.
There was a little conflict of interest there as far as going with the girls all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. You
but,
had teenagers and then you
uh-huh.
had babies.
Uh-huh. So you couldn't always go where you wanted to go. Or do
and this whole time when you had all your children, the first set of girls and the boys, you were working at the store, y'all were running the store.
Well, the girls were, they were in school. Kay had started the year after we bought the store. But we lived right across the street from the store,
mm-hmm.
so that was no big deal. And of course, we lived there when the boys were born too. But then, when they were one and three, we moved up here
on Kilmer Drive. That's
on
where
Kilmer,
we are now.
Uh-huh.
What's the street address here?
141.
141.
Uh huh. And so,
Then we got a telephone. That's the first time. We hadn't had a telephone until we moved up here.
You had one at the store, though?
Yeah, we had one at the store, but we didn't have one at the house. And so then I'd be in the basement, because the basement was all open. Whole 50-foot, 30-foot was all open. And the boys down there, they just had a ball because there was no partitions anywhere. And they ride their trucks and their cars and whatever else they had. And every time he'd call, my husband would call, "Oh, I need to go to the bank." "Well, I need you to go to the bank." I would have to run from up downstairs up here to the telephone clear over here. So we finally put a phone in the basement. So we've had phones up here nearly ever since we've been up here.
Well, that was real typical, though, then, to not have phones.
Yes.
Not many people had phones in their homes.
No.
Well, let me ask you this. We'll kind of finish up with this question, unless you think of something else. Do you think that Versailles has a sense of history about itself? And
yes,
and
definitely.
Do they celebrate their past? I mean, do they have...
Well, not that much. But now they have the parades, like the Christmas parade, and the Historical Society had a float and celebrated it that way. And then the Historical Society had a home tour, and that celebrated the old homes in that were in Woodford County.
Okay.
I think we had 8 or 10 this time.
What time of year did they do that?
That's the first week in December.
Okay, so when people have decorated their homes for Christmas.
And there were some beautiful, there are some beautiful ones. Oh, they're beautiful. And I think within the last, we've had the Historical Society for 35 years. I have not belonged that long. But this last group of women, the last, I'd say, 8 years, they have taken hold and they have really worked hard with it.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dana, as you met last night, she is extra good at it, whatever she's doing. And she has, her and the other women that are working with it, and of course I noticed last night that Harold Lee and, who was the other one? Don Richardson and Lynn Baker. They are very interested in the Historical Society, and they're younger men.
So that's
the others, of course, I guess 35 years ago, the other men were more interested, were younger men too than they are now. But Margaret Wilson had belonged to the Historical Society a long time. But Donna has worked so hard. Right now she's working on the Versailles Cemetery, and John Drew out in St. Louis is coming in here and taking pictures of every tombstone in the cemetery, and they're making this book together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donna and I have been going to the courthouse and getting the marriage bonds out, and we've got books of those. She's got printed books on those, and we're working on Dual Clark's funeral home books. It started in 1911. It goes to 1999, and I've got a whole lot of proofreading to do back there. She's got it typed and on a disc, and when I get it proofread and she corrects it, well, then she'll have it published and into a book to sell. And I mean, it's just, they've done so much with the Historical Society, and now they're trying to talk about the old swimming pool. It's down in a hole behind the building down there, the historical building, Historical Society building. And they're going to try to move. There's a log cabin that belongs to the Historical Society out on the Lexington Road, and they're going to try to get that graded and tore down there, whatever, and bring that old cabin down there. He was at one time a governor of Kentucky that was born in that cabin, and so they want to bring that down there.
and they're trying to do more historical things. And one of the corner store, corner building across from the courthouse, which also the door faces right out into the corner of the street, was a tavern at one time, and Watkins Tavern. And I think Henry Clay came and stayed there, and other historical people came and stayed at that particular time. And there's just a lot of history in Versailles. One time there were stables on where the Woodford Sun is, and that burned. And so then later on, it belonged to Macy's. Later on, it belonged to, when the Woodford Sun bought it, they had their offices upstairs and something else was downstairs, which was probably a grocery store or a liquor store. There was a liquor store on Main Street, too. But there's just so much historical, if you just go to digging into it, that, and I've got all of these 115 or so scrapbooks where I have saved every scrap that I, within the last 30 years, that they have put in the Woodford Sun, and I have cut it out and put it, categorized it. And so that's gets a lot of history to it.